Thank you, God.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, come on. Go ahead. Just, grab your seats. Thank you. You guys are honorable. Wow. Y'all doing good today? It was fun in worship, wasn't it? These guys are amazing, huh? They're good together, too, aren't they? Let's just give them some appreciation. Thank you, guys. I don't know if you realize how much heart most worship teams and people put into it that come way early and they're together and they just want it to be right. And man, I don't take that lightly. Man, thank you guys. Everybody involved in worship. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. All right, it's not that I don't have anything to say. I'm just listening. I want to be right. There's so many places you can go on a Sunday morning because it's not a long morning. It's a quick bang morning. The truth is you come here, but you live there. What Pastor was saying, where life is real. You come here, but you live there, wherever there is. You live at home, your workplaces, the marketplaces, your sphere of influences. You're actually in those places way more than you're here, probably, if you really think about it. So the whole goal of coming here, the whole goal of gathering together corporately, really, there's a celebration, there's a synergistic corporate worship, there's all that good stuff. You can list a whole bunch of good, positive reasons for being the body of Christ, not to mention just the support, the family, the connectivity, the relationship. But the reason we assemble ourselves together, according to Hebrews 10, is that we stir ourselves up in love and good works. Somehow along the way, in a lot of ways, the gospel has become all about God taking care of us. And there's a lot of puzzled, confused Christians out there that are wondering where God's at. The whole goal of the gospel is God transforming us back to his image so that in the face of everything, we look like who he is so that the light shines into men and they see the Father through our lives. Jesus walked on the earth and said, when you see me, you see the Father. That same Jesus said, the things he does, we'll do if we believe. As the Father sent him, he sent us. He's firstborn among many brethren. He's the expressed image of God, right? And yet we're predestined to be conformed to his image. They're all scriptures I just quoted. They're all in your Bible. I could backtrack if you want and tell you where they're at because I actually do know, but it saves me time when I just quote them because I don't have much time this morning, but it's all right. We're here to be stirred up and encouraged and edified. The whole reason you're alive, friend, is to pursue the image of God. The whole reason you're a Christian, the whole reason the Spirit of God is in you is to work in you by grace to transform your heart back into the image of your Father. Mercy woke every one of us up today so that we could have one more day to look like him. We're not here to survive, we've overcome. We're not here to make it, we've already come. We've already made it. We're already home. We're already free. We can't lose now. We've seen him and received him. Our lives are sealed forever. Christianity's not the great escape, and we're not incorporating God into our life in hopes of making it to the end. He comes into you to transform you, to change your eyes, your heart, your mind, your ways so that they agree with him, so that the world looks at our lives and sees Christ through his body. Come on. We're the body of Christ. We're not Christians that go to church. That can be, you can teach yourself religion with some of the things that we think and do. Christianity isn't church attendance, it's Christ-likeness. Because of Christ-likeness, of course we gather together. Because when we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So going to church is easy. Gathering together is awesome. It's what we want to do. Because we rub elbows. We see a like faith. We cheer each other on. We're excited about what we're becoming and the possibilities of God. Or you let life speak louder than truth. And you become whatever the world's shouting and declaring. And there's a lot of people today that go to church that are nothing more than the weakness around them. They're doing no better than the way things are going. And that's tragedy and that's deception. That's a lack of understanding. Christ is in us, church. The Spirit of God is in us and he's with us. The way that seems right to man that Pastor mentioned a while ago in Proverbs, it's in 14 and 16, the way that seems right to man, he says it twice. He repeats it in two chapters. It's pretty amazing. Must be significant. It's what we were taught by, the way that seems right to a man. It's the wisdom we were schooled by. It's what you and I were trained by from the time you were born. It's called the fall of man. We were born into Adam. You must be born again. It's so important to get understanding. Jesus is the truth. Man was living in the dark until the truth came. He's the light. Man was in the dark till the light came. We were all living by lies till the truth came. Do you get it? So until Jesus came, we didn't even know what the Father really looked like, and we had no clue who we were till we saw the Son. He's not just your Savior. He's not just your passport to heaven. He's your model for life. He lived what God made man to look like. That's why he said, follow me. He didn't just say, sing to me. He didn't just say, pray to me. He didn't just say, cry out to me when you're in need. He said, follow me. And then he gave us this wonderful, amazing person called Holy Spirit to live inside of us to make that possible. Because you couldn't follow Jesus without the Holy Spirit. But that means if Jesus said, follow me, we must be able to. He's not sitting back mocking you saying, look, they're actually trying. If he said, follow me, it's because you can. But watch this, you have to want to. You're the steward of your heart. You have to be willing, church, to give up your rights and give up what the world taught you, the he said, she saids of life. Well, you don't know how I feel. Well, they did that to me and that hurt me. It's easy for you to say they didn't do that to you. Well, you need to get off my back and be sensitive and understand how I feel. The world taught you to think that way and to live that way. You can't find that language in God. You can't find that language in Jesus. You can only find that language in sheer humanity called the fall of man. You put off the old things. You put on the new. He changes your thoughts, your conversations. He takes away your alibi and your justification for living less than who he is. The last thing you need, friend, is a list with four or five things on that are determining where you're at and where you're not. And, oh, I'd be there if it wasn't for this. I'd be here if it wasn't for that. None of those things on your list are Lord. You want to throw that thing away. Well, I'd be closer to God if it wasn't for that. If it wasn't for thing on the list has nothing to do with truth. It will not pass through the fire of the ends of time. Come on, heaven and earth is passing away. My word will remain forever. He said, go make disciples. I saw it was a statement in your church to be a disciple and make disciples. Do you know what a disciple is? I'm not challenging you. I'm teaching you. It's a wholehearted follower. If it's in your church statement, we ought to know what it is. It's a wholehearted follower, a disciplined learner. Here's Jesus' definition of a disciple in John 8. He who continues in my words, not his thoughts, his opinions, his feelings, or his friend's advice. He who continues in my word is my disciple indeed. He will know the truth, and the truth itself will make him free. Why? Because he sees what he couldn't see before. He becomes what he sees. He's no longer blind. He's no longer restrained. He's free. And he who the Son sets free is free. Once you see, you're empowered to become. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. The God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4, has blinded the eyes of them who don't believe. It's very important to understand why we're Christians. We are not here for blessings. We're not here because we're afraid of hell. We're not here because of provision and for God to just take care of our families. We're here to receive the Spirit of God to become one with him so that we can manifest him in our sphere of influence and so we can walk in the light and let our light so shine. So the days of bitterness, anger, frustration, jealousy, pride must be challenged and must be put to an end. We must realize that we were never created to be those. Things. We became those things when man separated from God. But now Christ came back in and grafted us back in. So all that he is inside of us so that we can shine. You must be born again, church. That's more than a prayer to go to heaven. That's a renouncing of everything old and a hello to everything new. And it's all in according to Christ. Go to Colossians chapter 3 with me real quick. I know I'm talking fast. There's a lot in my heart. My heart's racing and I have a lot to say and I probably don't have the time to get it out. And it's all right because it's just my heart. But God will say what he wants to say this morning. Bear with me. I know I'm talking fast. Thank you, God. That's why we tape things. That's why I preach like a machine gun sometimes. You can always listen back. You can rewind it and catch it. Probably don't try to take notes when I'm preaching. You'll miss three things while you're writing. Just get the CD. All right? It's on purpose, man. I have the honor of standing before you. Some of you, it's the first time I've seen you this weekend. I feel like I have one access to your heart, and that means a lot to me. Because I actually feel like I have something to say, because I live with me, and I love who Jesus has made me become. My conscience isn't violated. I'm not condemned. I'm not in denial. I can look in a mirror right in my eyes, and I know who I've become, and I actually like who I've become. I actually like living with me. I like Jesus living in me. It's a really important thing because you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. So if you don't see yourself clear, you don't see others clear. All of a sudden, you'll just see men through the way you see yourself. But the clearer you see yourself through Christ, now I got a real good look at you, friend. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm excited. That's why I'm not at home with my family now, because today I can be here with you and your families, and maybe we can impart something, and it might just increase and encourage your access to Christ and your manifestation to Christ. So I think that's worth it. Amen? Amen. So let's look at Colossians. You know, I used to have a bad impression of itinerant ministry because I was a pastor. And people used to call the church, I don't know if they do that here, but people used to call the church and say, hey, we're a ministry in town, we're in the area, we're over at this church right now, we're sending you some CDs, this is the message God put on our heart, we'd love access to your one of your services, da, da, da. And they would always ask to preach at the church. And it just always kind of wigged me out a little. I was like, I couldn't imagine asking to preach at a church. Like, can I preach? And I was like, but so I always viewed itinerant ministry as something somebody was just trying to make ends meet, earning a living. It was like, I didn't understand itinerant ministry. I didn't understand the cross-pollinating. I didn't understand the impartation of gifts and bringing people, like you said, bringing someone in outside, a confirming voice out of the mouths of two or more. I actually started to get stereotype itinerant ministry because of all the contacts I had with itinerant ministry. And in my heart, I kind of like did one of those inner vows that I would never itinerate, and I could never imagine traveling and being an itinerant ministry. It seems weird. And it's all I do. It's so hilarious. But you need to understand something, maybe. I'm not here for a paycheck. I'm not here for a job. I didn't talk to Tim and say, look, if I come, you need to do this or do that or make sure I take up a lot. I have never taken an offering for myself. I'm not sure why I'm qualifying this or saying this right now, but I think we need to understand that there's a such thing as called pure and called love and fulfilling your calling and seeing the value of others. It's not about what you can get from one another. It's not I love you, do you love me? It's I love you. It's not give and take. It's not 50-50. It's not, hey, he came, he laid down his life, he sacrificed, he used his gas, he drove. Duh! That has nothing to do with nothing. That is not why I'm here. It's not why I travel. I travel because of the value of people, because God seems to think that putting his son on a cross and shedding his blood is worth us living in him. God seems to think the purchased possession is well worth the price. So we probably ought to rise up and see what he sees, because he thinks you're a pretty big deal. Yeah? The only reason you struggle with that, if you do, is because you weigh your value based on your life lived. You base your value based on what you know about yourself. He bases your value on your potential, your destiny, your created purpose. He knows what you look like when he lives inside of you, and he believes that's worth the blood of his son. See, the cross doesn't expose your sin. It removes your sin to expose your value. It actually takes the lie off of you so you can be covered with the truth. It's called born again. Yay. And I used to think it was a passport to heaven. I used to think you just pray a prayer to go to heaven. Now I realized heaven came into me so that I can walk in the light and let my light so shine. Now I realize Holy Spirit came into me. Not just the seal, not just my spirit being alive, that seal for the day of redemption, but the person of Holy Spirit came into me to empower me to be a witness, to help me to not be self-conscious, but Christ-conscious, and love people and not be bothered by people. And where sin abounds, let grace abound even more. Instead of draw away from people and decide who I like and who I don't like, absolutely, he just makes me love. And all of a sudden, you see the value in every man, because Christ died for all. You say, well, I don't know. I don't like them. They this, they that. They no, it means they don't know who they are. You know what? It's been so easy to cry because of people. My question is, why don't we quickly cry for people? Because we've been touched by the fall of man. We think for ourselves more than we realize. Sometimes it's not even evil and willful. It's just a lack of understanding. We've been trained by life to think for yourself, to be hurt, to be offended, to be taken back. All these things are signs that our identity isn't truly established in the Christ that's in us. We've actually found ourselves through life instead of through the life that's inside. All of a sudden, your heart can be easily broken. Your heart can easily be rejected. All of a sudden, you just be frustrated and annoyed. All of a sudden, you can be hurt and just angry. All of a sudden, you can have the need to be right. Jesus didn't make us that way. What? None of that's normal, none of that's cool, and none of that has to ever be. It's not who you are. Who you are looks like him. And if you would dare, when we read this chapter, just flow with me and listen to the word and believe that this life is possible. See, this isn't condemnation, and I'm not comparing you among you. I'm saying it is possible to follow Jesus, look like him, think like him, live like him, and manifest him. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. We say he's the light of the world. And he said, yeah, now you are too, because I'm in you. Yeah. He raises from the dead in Matthew 28. And guess what he says? He just raised from the dead. He was probably pretty excited. He probably had fire in his eyes. I'm sure he wasn't talking passive and calm. He just raised from the dead, conquered death, hell, and the grave. He came from the dead and he met his disciples, said, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. Now go in my name. Guess what he did? He connected us to the authority and power and to his name and to him. And he didn't see himself apart from us. The whole goal of what he did was so he could hand us the baton. The whole goal of what he did is so he could reproduce himself after his own kind. So he could be the firstborn among many. One seed into the ground, springing up, bearing much fruit. One son for many sons. Man, it is so much more than incorporating God into your life, hoping that you make it. It is him becoming your life, becoming your motives, becoming the why behind your heart, becoming who you are from the inside. He said, if you clean the inside of the cup, the outside's clean. You don't have to work on you. Yeah? You don't have to wake up and try not to sin. You wake up and enjoy being a son. You enjoy being forgiven. You enjoy being righteous. You talk to God and you thank him every day for the gift of that day. You thank him for the way he sees you through the blood and that you have nothing to make up for. You have nothing to earn. All of his is yours. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And I am so glad you love me. You've made it so clear. Thank you. The way you've shown me mercy, you've made me merciful. The way you've forgiven me, you've made me living forgiveness. The way you've loved me, you've fashioned me as love. Love. God, thank you for reproducing who you are in me. I'm not believing the lies, God. I'm not believing the limitations. I'm not buying into man's experiences. I'm not saying it's not possible. You make all things possible, and all things are possible to them that believe. So thank you for grace that makes me what I could never be on my own. Thank you for your power that fashions me, your grace that sculpts me and etches me into your workmanship so the world might know you sent your son. I have no need to just preach at people. I want them to see my life and bow to you. Thank you for what you've done. That's prayer. That's communion. That's it's not, God, I can't believe it's 6 o'clock. I don't feel like getting up. Where are you, God? Help me. You know, my boss has been treating me bad, and I wish you'd touch him. In fact, I wish I'd get another job. And that car, it doesn't turn over right. God, what's going on? It seems like everything's falling apart at once. I thought you loved me. That's not prayer. I'm not saying you're praying like that. I'm saying don't ever get trapped into a self-seeking, self-centered thing with God. He's not here to put all your ducks in a row. He's here to ensure that you can look like him in the midst of it all. Somebody smashes into your car, who knows accidents happen. He's here to empower you in the secret place so that when somebody smashes into your car, you don't have to stop, look, and listen and try to apply everything that Pastor Tim preached. You're already too late. Okay, that would make sense. Okay. Oh, my God. Car. Oh, it's got to be so smashed. That was a loud thump. Okay, yeah. But Pastor Tim said, I'm supposed to be light in the world. Okay, I need to love. I got to be calm. Thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus. Hey, everybody. Come on, that's weird. That's plastic. That's hypocrisy. It's crazy. Here's the deal. You get alone with God and you seek him in the secret place. The war buttons are always red. You just see yourself always in a place to prepare for battle. You're in training. You're in basic training. You're always being groomed by God and fashioned by the Spirit through your intimacy and communion. And when all of a sudden you get thrown into life or adversity arises, guess what defends you? The gospel. Why? Because in that place you become. I remember some folks bought me a brand new truck. I want to give you a simple example and we'll close when we read this. This is going to be our prayer. They brought me a brand new truck. It's crazy. I'm the kind of guy that drives a truck. The truck I had before the one when they bought me, I had 11 years, and this truck, it was 13 years old. So I would just drive them, and then they'd try to die, and you'd pray them back to life. You know, live in Jesus' name. And you just keep on driving. And these people came up, one of these intercessor ladies came up. You know, she just, they scare you sometimes. You look at them, and you're like, and you're just like, stay there, talk to me from there, you know. And she's not flaky. She loves Jesus, and she submits her life to him and stays in his presence all the time. And she just came up and said, I heard the Lord for you. I said, you did? I said, tell me from over there. And she said, you need a new truck. The Lord wants to get you a new truck. I said, honey, I'm not even thinking a truck. Never prayed about a truck. I actually love my truck. And she said, well, you're getting a new one. I said, okay. And I'm kind of laughing like Sarah laughed. You know, Sarah laughed and still got pregnant, right? Okay. You can laugh all you want when God says, it's coming, baby. You can ha, ha, ha all you want. I so struggled with this itinerant ministry stuff. My pastor sat me down and had lunch with me. He said, don't you understand what's happening? See, I can walk around all day and say, I know I'm a son. I'm accepted in God. I know he loves me. I know I'm righteous. I don't walk around saying, I'm a gift to the body of Christ. I don't even think that. He told me that. And when he told me that, I began to cry. He said, don't you realize God's built things in you? You're a gift to the body. He doesn't want you restrained to one local congregation. He wants you dispersed abroad. And he's telling me I'm to itinerate. And I'm like, what? How am I going to? Well, I'm not going to knock on doors. He said, you won't have to. He said, a couple years from now, you have so many invites, you won't know what to do. God will do it. And I laughed like Sarah laughed. Last year alone, I had 7 years worth of invites in 1 year. I had 250 probably in the last 12 weeks. And it's not my fault. So it feels good because I haven't pursued this. I haven't tried to float a boat. I haven't tried to build a kingdom. I'm just ministering one that's already here.
Yeah? So good.
Long story short, she said, well, I talked to two people and they were hearing the same thing. I said, wait a minute, let me get this straight. You called two people you were hearing in your heart and they were hearing the same thing and they're all excited about me getting a truck. She said, yep. I said, you guys scare me, man. So they put these monies in an account. They do, man. They scare me, man. They're like, they put these monies in an account, and 2 months later, I'm driving off of a lot with a brand new truck. It's a sweet, pretty little thing. I don't covet stuff. I drive a 13 years a truck, so I'm not coveting stuff. I never even asked for a truck. But I caught the beauty of it when I drove. I thought, God, this is your love for me, your provision, and this is the love of the people. This is amazing. And I didn't realize I was going to start driving 27 to 30,000 miles a year traveling and preaching. So my 13-year-old truck would have been, I've really been praying over that baby. Live, please, drive. You know, that thing would have been tired. I have it for 3 months. I'm going to a meeting to preach. I got to meet some folks. We're all going to carpool and we're going to head an hour away and we're going to preach the gospel in a fire hall and have some fun and just have a good time. And I'm coming down the road, and I'm the only one in my lane, and I'm going about 40 mile an hour, and there's a stop sign up there in an intersection. There's a whole bunch of traffic coming into a medical center, and I'm just on the straight lane rolling, and this lady's sitting there, and she looks and sees the car in the front of the long row is turning. And she goes, oh, they're turning. I can scoot across. She forgot there's another direction. She floors it when I'm right on the intersection. I go, oh, Jesus, wow. And it was like I was in an amusement park for about 2 seconds. I mean, it was like you don't even know where you're at, right? It was serious. It was loud, and it was poof. And all of a sudden, poof. It was like Dorothy's house landing in Oz. Poof. Just stop. Everything's quiet. Everything's white. I'm going, Jesus. Jesus. It's my airbag. I'm like, oh. And I get out of my airbag. And I run to the car. This is exactly how it happened. I'm so conscious and so aware that there's people in that car. We had an accident. Oh, my goodness. And I know Jesus is in me, and he's amazing, and he makes things right. So I run over there, and I said, sir, I must pray for you. That was high impact. Are you okay? He said, I'm just worked up. Please let me pray. Father, I thank you. This teenage girl's in the back. She's just crying. Ooh. She's scared. It was serious. Their hood was laying. I never seen anything like it. Their hood was laying on the side. It was propped on the side of the car. And there was pieces of car everywhere. I never looked at my truck. Never thought about my truck. That's impossible. I never thought, oh no, my new truck. I'm a Christian. I'm light on the earth. I live in a new and living way. I represent truth on the earth. This isn't arrogant. Hear my heart. I'm not like other men. Jesus is in me. I carry a message and I send a message through my nature, my personality, my responses. It's a big deal to me. What else does light look like? I'm a Christian. They don't need me. Kick in the grass, showing my disgust. She already feels bad. She made a mistake. She doesn't need me shaking my head, looking at the dents, and then telling her it's okay because she already saw it wasn't. I'm called to take weight off of people, not put it on. We all make mistakes. About the time you hold her so accountable is about the time you run a stop sign. Or don't realize a red light while you're talking. Because the measure you judge is the measure you judge. Judgment's without mercy. Where there's no mercy given, there's no mercy received. That means you become the very thing you're pointing at. This is really critical. I don't know how I got on this story, but we're there. I reached into the young girl. Honey, come here. Baby, it's okay. It was an accident. Sometimes things happen. You always trust Jesus, sweetheart. You call in his name, okay? She crawled over now. She doesn't even know me. She feels love. She feels safety in my voice. It's so fun. By the way, since I've been saved, I was in on about 7 accidents that I watched happen. I've never watched. Did you ever see a metal poof happen? A lot of people have never in their life seen it. They just see them after they happen. But I watched like 7 of them after I got saved happen and crash, and I was the first one there. I've seen people wake up, stop seizing, come out of... I watched a young kid bleeding, hanging upside down with a broken leg. I saw his leg get healed. He was released with minor injuries. He was high. I ministered to him, and I think God sobered him. I have so many encounters like that. You just crawl in the car. That's where them angel stories come from. You run in, they're Holy Ghost drive-bys. You're not the authority. There's people there but Christ is authority, right? So you don't get in the way of paramedics. You don't get in the way of policemen. But you slip in there and you give them the kingdom and you slip out and let people do what they do. And then they go, I don't know, but I woke up and there was this smiling face. And they just talked to me about Jesus and I felt warmth and I felt... And then they disappeared. It must have been an angel. Because this one man crashed a pole so hard he looked like a crash dummy. Did you ever see a crash dummy? It was terrible. It was a human body. And I ran over and he's in the car. That's exactly what it was. Pitiful. And I said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' precious name. And he went exactly what he did. I said, it's okay, sir. It's okay. Jesus is here. He loves you. You were in a very serious accident. You flew in front of me. You hit a pole. Your car is sitting on a pole. I came in your car. You were moaning. And you were unconscious. But the reason you're awake is because Jesus loves you. You remember Jesus. He's walking you through this whole experience. You're coming out of this unscathed, friend. Jesus loves you. I'm a passerby. I watched it happen. But Jesus is here and he is Lord. Hear them sirens? They're coming to make sure you're okay, but you are, because he loves you. Remember Jesus through this whole thing. I slipped right off his car. policeman comes over. I said, I was just talking to him, comforting him, prayed with him. He'll be fine. Okay, okay.
I love it.
Teenage girl, I run around to the driver. I didn't know this, but I found it on the police report. She was 65 years old. She just had a birthday. Now, this is what you don't know. The car that she wrecked into me with wasn't hers. It was her daughter's. Why? Because she demolished hers 7 days before. Now, see, you don't know that. And you don't understand what people are going through and the pressure they're carrying and the weight and the turmoil. She's 65. She's thinking, am I already losing competence? Am I like some senior citizen? Should I be giving up my driving privileges? What's going on with me? I've demolished 2 cars in a week. What, I'm going to kill somebody. I guess I need to stop driving. And she's just got all this weight on her. And the last thing she needs is Mr. Christian being frustrated because his new truck's wrecked when she's a living soul. Come on, I'm talking straight to you right now. Yeah, well, she's liable. Well, she should have looked both ways. Oh, you stop it. If God judged you that way, you'd never be saved.
That's right.
Ooh, we all right? Okay. Man, I just talk straight, okay? I just want us to so follow him. Guys, we can follow him or he wouldn't ask us to. I so want us to be groomed and fashioned in prayer by the Holy Spirit that when life tries to surprise you, there is no surprise. Because all you know how to do is love. All you know how to do is forgive. Watch, you're not trying to forgive. You don't even have a grid for unforgiveness because you've been with him and you've tasted his mercy. You don't even know how to have a hard heart because his heart is so amazing. And all of a sudden, two have become one. And all of a sudden, the way life taught you is trumped because now true life has taught you and his name is Jesus.
Are you guys following me? Look, my days of anger, frustration, bitterness, and unforgiveness have been over for 18 years. You don't have to believe me. Time will tell I'm telling right. One day you'll see I was right. Yeah. Watch this. You're absolutely powerless to take anything you see in me away. It's impossible to emotionally abuse me because I know who I am. You'll get emotionally abused trying to emotionally abuse me. I'm the wrong person to do wrong if you don't want change. Because I won't cry because of you. I'll cry for you when you're not looking. And I'll say, God, if they knew who they were, they wouldn't live that way. God, if they had any clue of their value and destiny, they wouldn't have talked or acted in that manner. Would you show them mercy? Would you reveal their destiny? Would you reach inside their heart, great Holy Spirit, and give them understanding? I forgive them and love them and say, don't hold this against them. Manifest your great name. And see, you're not even there, and you're not even looking, but I care enough to pray that way, weeping. And guess what will happen? Those prayers will shoot through the drywall, not bounce off like the ones, God, I wish you'd straighten them up and knock them off their high horse. Who do they think they are? You're the only one hearing your prayer. And the friend you gossip with. I'm not saying you did that, personally. I'm just talking general. I'll look up. But when you pray the prayer of love, it goes straight through the drywall into the bowls of incense. And the voice of your prayer goes before the Father. It's real. It's Bible. And all of a sudden, the Father hears his heart in the bowl. Oh, my goodness. All of a sudden, the Father hears his heart in the bowl. And he says, that sounds like my voice. That sounds like my heart. That's my son, Dan. Him and I are one. He's crying out their case. Mercy will triumph over judgment. Holy Spirit, go and answer these prayers. Phew. Oh, and in the middle of the night, the one that looks like the villain gets touched by God because love is moving over there. He'll come and get you when you ain't looking. He'll sneak right up on you. I'm telling you, don't even mess with me if you don't want change.
All I know is Jesus, the best he could come up with in this hour, the most unjust act of humanity ever that ever will be. And he was in the middle of it on a cross, the last one that ever deserves to die. And the best he could come up with was, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. What's he saying?
humanity is blind. But if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. I am the light of the world, and I will cast out their darkness. Yeah? See what's wrong? I believe it. So I run around to this lady who feels very responsible for wrecking my truck. Second accident in 1 week, 65 years old. You don't know all that stuff. You don't have to. You know him and you'll respond right. If you know all that stuff, you might treat her insincere. You might just treat her rhetorical. You might just have empathy instead of the Spirit of God. You might just feel sorry for her instead of be real. Come on, I'm talking to you. Because one is just human and the other is full of grace. So I go over to this lady and she's sitting there. She was much older than you. But I'm going to use you. And she's staring that way out the window through her windshield that was shattered. And she's looking at my truck. My truck has a temporary tag in the window because it's still new. In the sense of I didn't get the one yet. It wasn't quite 3 months old. And it's sideways sitting in the sun. It looks really pretty like it's for sale. I just waxed it in the morning. But if you walked around the other side, it hardly looked new. She went into the front wheel well, went the whole way down the side, down the passenger side, hit the bed, and pushed the bed in over a foot right here and the whole way down. The whole side. So she demolished this little truck. She's staring out the window like this. And I said, "Hey, girl," I said, "I want to make sure you're okay." I said, "That was high impact." And she's just staring like she's fixed. And as I'm talking, I told her I want to pray for her. As I'm talking, she said, "Oh, no, I hit a brand new truck." She realized it was brand new. And that to her made it worse than if it wasn't. Because she's responsible. And I said what sounded rhetorical to her. I said, "Honey, it's okay. It's a truck." You know how we say that stuff? Because it sounds right, but we're really inconvenienced and really bothered and we really wish they'd have looked both ways. Or worse, we run up to them and say, "Didn't you see the sign? If I'd have saw the sign, friend, we wouldn't be sitting here like this. Come on. Come on, I'm being real. This stuff happens to Christians all the time." And then you do all that, and then you run to church. Holy, holy. No, holy right now. Holy right now. Don't teach yourself religion ever. Teach yourself life in Christ. So I said, "Honey, it's okay. It's just a truck." And she looked at me. Now, you won't be able to do this because you're just too sweet. She got vehement, and she yelled at me. She said, "You don't understand. That is a brand new truck." And I'm thinking, I think I know that. I said, "Honey, okay, I don't." She said, "It's a brand new truck." And I'm like, "Okay." She said, "That driver is going to be so mad at me." Oh, man, and it started feeling real good. I took her little chin and I said, "Honey, I am the driver." Watch what she did. Watch what she did. It's not an ounce of exaggeration. Watch what she did. "Oh, God bless you." Because she was released. Even though she had to still face insurance and stuff, she was released from that personal pressure. Boy, I'm sure glad Mr. Christian wasn't busy kicking the grass, coveting his truck, and then trying to smooth talk her why it's okay. Because she already saw it isn't. I'm sure glad they had. I was over to their car so fast they didn't know I was the driver. I was acting in a way. I was in another wreck. The paramedics yelled at me and said, "This is no time for jokes, sir. We need to know who was driving that vehicle." I said, "Sir, it was me, and I'm sorry. I'm not trying to cause a problem." He breathed deep and looked at me like, and I said, "Oh my goodness, I think I understand where there's struggle. You're thrown by my disposition. Because I was exactly like you see me now, and that's impossible." I had. You couldn't get out of it. You had to bust out. It was crushed. My kids and I were in a little cubby, and there's no way out, and I had to bust out. He said, "Sir, If you're the driver of that truck, I've been to over 1,000 accidents. I've never seen anything like this. I said, I can explain. See, I don't know about you. I don't want natural. I want supernatural. Amen. And that's just not miracles, signs, and wonders. That's living the life in Christ and walking in love, because love is supernatural. Walking in forgiveness is the power of God. Walking in mercy is God. Only God possesses that, but he's willing to give it to you if you're willing to take it and want it and walk in it. The biggest tragedy is with a fellow like me when he's preaching that people that are listening don't want what I'm saying. That means you want what you became through Adam. Even though you go to church, you want to hold on to rights you inherited through the fall. How can you deny yourself and hold on to rights? I've never understood that, church. If any man come after me, let him first. He didn't say prayer to go to heaven. He said deny yourself. Why? You were never made for you. You were made for the image of God. Come on, if you put metal in a microwave, you'll destroy it. It's not made for metal. You live for yourself, you'll destroy your life. You're not made for you. Read the manufacturer's handbook. It's product abuse. You're made for his image. You're not made for anger. You're not made for frustration. You're made for the Spirit of God. You're made to love, not be angry. You're made to love, not need to be right at the cost of others. The reason hate is murder in Jesus' language is because it cuts off the destiny of people. It cuts off their value. And if God looked at us through hate, he'd never send his son because we're cut off. He looked at us for potential and destiny. The way he loved us, he's called us to love one another. It's absolutely uncool to believe you can receive the mercy of God and the forgiveness of all your sins and not desire to become the very thing that saved you. It's absolutely 100% selfish and deceived to want to be forgiven of everything you've ever done and not be willing to forgive everyone of everything they've ever done. Because you're the body of Christ, and as the Father sent me, so I send. So why is there a difference? Just because we relate to the fall? Just because we relate to natural knowledge, feelings, and emotions that are fallen? What about the salvation of the soul? What about God changing me on the inside to make me like I was before sin? What about the restoration of innocence? What about the renewing of heart? Look, I know I got to quit. I got to quit. Do I have to stop now? No. What I'm talking about is time, though. Am I out of time? Because you're done by now.
It's time to transition.
You have run out of things to say by now, haven't you? No, I'm just kidding. No. There's not. I see what I need to do if I have that grace.
Let me tell you how we normally do. I usually preach till about 12:15, and then we transition to prayer
ministry. I'm not having an altar call.
Okay.
If you want one, I'll stop. But I'm not having an altar call. I know that.
We always have a ministry time.
You can have that.
You don't have to lead it. But I'm just letting
Here's what I'm asking. Do I have grace to finish?
You're preaching real good, and I would like you to finish.
Do I have grace to finish is all I'm asking.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Come on,
man. No, it's Sunday morning. You got kids everywhere. Dude, I've never seen anything like it. No, I've never seen anything like it. You guys are very productive. Guys, you have the kid award, man. Dude, you wreck me. I'm like, I told him last night, he's preaching, it has to be Genesis 2. I said, they got it, okay? Move on. There's a lot of good chapters in the Bible.
It's like this. It doesn't matter what I say. Would you like him to finish the message?
Well, it does matter. I'm looking to you because you're authority, that's all. See, I'm not here to blow up Sunday morning. I could preach for 10 hours and not breathe. I could. I promise you. But Sunday's not like that for me. I'm very obedient usually on Sunday, and somehow it's 12:30. I don't even know what happened. I feel this is important. This, to me, is the ministry time right here. This is the impartation time. In fact, if somebody would touch keys or something for me, I would love that. Or if somebody wants to strum strings, I don't care. I don't care. Come and tap a snare drum. I don't care. Just love Jesus on your instrument, whoever wants to do that. Thank you. Are you coming or did you change your mind? I thought you got halfway and said, whatever, man. It felt good on the way up, but I know. I do appreciate your heart. Bless you. Thank you. You can't knock me down. I'm too rooted and grounded. But he is a big fella, man. I got out of the way. I'll admit, I was a little nervous. I thought he was coming. Colossians 3, and we got to wrap up. And if pastor at the end, see, when I guest speak, what I try to stay a million miles away from is just praying for everybody, because that's not why I'm here. Because then you'll think that there's something special in me, and the same thing in me is in you. Signs follow believers, not gifted. So pastor can step up and close out, but I'm just going to wrap this up, and you'll see it'll make sense. And then if he wants to open up and you have ministry and you want to flow and pray for the needs of people, that's great. I think we should do that all the time. In fact, you don't need an altar call to do that. You guys ought to be so like aggressive to one another. Hey, how you doing? Well, I mean, this man, let's just pray. And you get aggressive and you start exercising faith and watch what God does before you even start the service officially. You get what I'm saying? Okay, I'm eating time. Thanks, guys. Wow, I got a bunch of you. Man, together we're enough. Amen. Yeah, we can do this. Thanks, Jesus. I want you to really open your heart, because I've cried out my heart 100 mile an hour and preached a lot. But this is why, because of what I'm about to read. Let this be your admonishment today, your exhortation. This is your spiritual encouragement in the Lord. And at the same time, it's our prayer. And I'm asking you to let it be the position of your heart as I'm reading in a minute, okay? And it's amazing in a corporate setting like this what God will do by his grace if you're willing. The only tragedy that can take place in this room is when somebody shuts down and says, I don't want to become love. I don't want what you're talking about. Look, if somebody hurts me, I'm going to get them back. Friend, you don't want that attitude, because if God took that attitude towards you, there's zero mercy towards your life. It's all about you being transformed in his image. Please hear me clear. Christianity is the pursuit of Christ-likeness. Amen. Since you've been, chapter 3 of Colossians. Oh, that's so good. Thanks, guys. That's sweet. Since you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not the things of the earth. Come on, this is intense. Since you're a Christian, seek the things above. Set your mind on things above, not the earth. Why? Verse 3, for you died. See, you didn't pray a prayer to go to heaven, you died. In Christianity, you can't live until you die. In fact, dying is what brings the life. It has to be sown, and it has to be sown in death before it can raise in life. That's why you get water baptized. You die to everything you've ever been, and everything that you've ever done, and everything ever done to you. You die to it and you don't look back. You die to it. And then you come out of the water. You die in the likeness of his death, because the water represents his grave, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And when you come out of the water, you raise in the newness of life. Oh, it's so good. And you can no longer say, well, you don't know how it was when I was growing up. You're not growing up. You're in Christ and he's in you. You're not 5, you're 45 and you're born again, filled with the Spirit. Don't be Lot's wife looking back, trapped between where you came from and where you're called. Remember Lot's wife, Jesus said. There's so much talk about our past. Jesus bought it out. You have the present and the future. The past isn't even yours. He said, I'm persuaded nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's angels and powers, created things like life, death, present things to come. I'm convinced nothing. Guess what's not on the list? It's an all-inclusive list in Romans 8 that nothing can separate us from life. Guess what's not on the list? The past. Why? Because your past has the total ability to keep you from receiving the love of God. But the past isn't yours. We're supposed to know that. It's his. He bought it out. And he threw it away. He made you brand new. Yeah. Man, it would do you good to get alone in a room if you were touched wrong as a little girl or boy and say, Father, I thank you standing here in your presence. This is not the one that was touched wrong. This is the one that was touched right. I don't fear men. I don't fear women. And I don't distrust humanity. You're making me love. I'm not a survivor. I'm an overcomer. Your spirit lives in me and you've shown me my value. It has nothing to do with me. What was done to me, what you've done to me supersedes. I will not let the word of a man trump the word of God or the act of a man trump the act of God. Thank you, great spirit of God, for transforming me. Yeah. It's called faith, and the just happen to live by it. Anything else is feelings. And I'm not being smart or derogatory. Many Christians live by them. And they're only as good as their feeling. No, you're as good as the one inside of you. Set your mind on these things. Why? You died, your life's hidden in Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you'll appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. That's who you're not created to be. See, the only thing Jesus is asking us to give up is what we never were in the first place. Why is it so hard to give something up that he never made you to be? It's just what you grew familiar with through life and you thought you were. But Christ is the truth and he separates the two. He calls you out of darkness into the light. He sanctifies you and sets you apart. You're in the world, not of the world. That's what all those scriptures mean, guys. They're not like holy scriptures and spiritual scriptures that you say hallelujah on Sunday. They're things you live and enjoy every day and experience. You're going to put to death the members that are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness. It's all idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming to the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves, I myself, once walked when I lived in them. But now, watch, you yourself, not your pastor laying on of hands, you yourself are to put off these things. Anger. One of the biggest movements on the earth is anger management. What is anger management? Managing your anger is like really borderline hypocrisy. So I'm angry, but I'm not going to show it. I'm going to manage it, but I'm angry. So everything that I'm doing is flowing out of anger. It's just concealed. Jesus didn't say manage anger. He said put it off. Why? You were never made for anger. You were made for love. Now let me ask you a question. How do you put off anger without biting your lip and trying not to be angry and getting trapped in works and feeling like you're failing? That's a good question. I know you hope I have the answer. Isn't that what we do? Don't we just try harder sometimes? I'm actually glad that we have the heart to try harder because it means your heart's pure and sincere and you're alive inside and you ain't playing games. I'm actually glad that people feel bad about their sins sometimes and actually cry over the things they've done. I don't like when they hang there, but it's okay to see they have the ability to hurt by it because they actually, it proves they're alive inside. People come to me as a pastor crying and say, I can't believe what I've done. I need to talk to you. And they tell me what they did and they're really weeping and they feel like wretched. And I say, man, I'm so excited to see your heart so pure. And they're like, heart's pure? Didn't you hear what I just said I did? Well, I heard what you said you did, but I see who you are. And if we don't lose sight of who you are, and if for a minute you think you are what you did instead of you are what he did, if we don't lose sight of who you are, we can stop what you did. But if you lose sight of who you are through what you did, we're in trouble. I see who you are. You care inside. You're alive. You're purer than you think. You have a heart for Jesus, and this thing breaks you. And then all of a sudden, I start teaching them who they are more, and their identity rises up, and you make the tree good, and all of a sudden, the fruit's good, and they didn't even try to change. Oh, that's the gospel. So how do you put off anger? How do you put off all this stuff he's listing? You get alone with Jesus, guys. It's so simple. You get alone with Jesus and recognize why you're alive and why you're on the earth. You say, Father, you made me for your image. You get alone where nobody's distracting. You take a walk in the park and you talk out loud to God. And you let this thing get so big in your heart so grace floods you. And you just, I walk in my bedroom. It's a wonder I don't have a trail around in my carpet. I jump. Well, it's probably because I jump. I miss a lot of spots. If you'd have heard me pray when I got saved, people would have tried to stop me and get me to find balance. I'm glad I didn't meet those folks because they were wrong. I would run through my bedroom. God, I'm born again. I'm a brand new creature. I'm saved. I'll never be the same. Never again will stress and strife and frustration eat my lunch. God, none of those things are who you made me to be. You made me in your image. You made me for love. And Holy Spirit, you're empowering me to be that very thing. I'm willing, God. I say yes to your will. Yes to created value. And I say no to the things that I've known through that fall. God, I am not an angry man. I am a lover because you're with me and you're teaching me. God, I am not a frustrated man because I have no need to be right. God, I thank you. You give me wisdom, and I thank you. You teach me to express your heart. God, I'm so glad that I'm alive in you. I'm a tree ripe for the picking. Men eat of me and are satisfied. Thank you for showcasing yourself through my life. That's the way I talk to the Lord right out of the gate. That's called prayer. I wasn't afraid to say, never again will I be. You say, you can't do that, brother. Everybody has their days. That's why you have yours. You have a platform for it. You say, yeah, but you're set up for condemnation. Wonder if you miss it after praying like that. I run right to Papa and I realize that's not who I am, and he's growing me and he's teaching me, but it's my desire to walk pure. So it's not about failure. It's about growing. When you're afraid to believe God, you'll get trapped in compromise. You say, yeah, but Dan, everybody has their moments. Stop that. Stop selling yourself cheap. Because when you have your moment, you have no sense to repent because that's who we are, you know. And all of a sudden, you're hiding behind something that's not even you. And grace is wanting to raise you higher and empower you more. Don't you be afraid to let grace teach you. Are you guys okay with me? Are you hearing me? Oh, God. We're not going to lie to one another. Why? Why aren't we going to lie to one another? Because we put off the old man, guys. And we put on the new man. Who's the new man? Look who the new man is. He's renewed. This is why we teach. This is why I'm so excited and shouting out and talking 100 miles an hour to get as much out as I can before I leave. That's what I'm actually doing. Because, man, if I can sow seeds, something's going to grow. If you shoot a machine gun, you're going to hit something. Some guy came up to me and said, you did me a great injustice today in the service. I said, why is that? You dumped a milk truck on me, buddy. You didn't just give me a glass of milk. You dumped the truck on me. I said, well, sir, I said, are you sure that's not a negative mindset? Aren't you seeing that maybe like milk's good? You don't have to drink the whole truck. It's all right if I dump the whole truck on you. Just drink the cup that fits your hand. I said, but there might have been a lot of other milk that fit the hands of others. I just dumped the milk truck because, hey, milk's good and it probably a lot of thirsty souls and hearts. But you didn't lose nothing by me dumping the whole truck. You gained a glass of milk. Just drink what spoke to you. You don't have to remember everything I said. But see, train to find a negative with what's only good. Train to find what's wrong with what's only right. The fall of man did that to us. And see, people listen to preachers to hear what they might say wrong instead of listen for God. Yeah, they did it to Jesus and put him on a cross. That's a sad day. And they were sure they were right. And we're sure they were wrong. You put on the new man. Who's the new man? He's renewed in knowledge according to the image of the very one who created him. Do you see why I preach what I preach? It's so Bible. The whole goal of the gospel is restoring you back to the image of God. You're supposed to put off the old man and put on the new. You can't do that with works. You do that with relationship. Listen, I'm not dishonoring whatever you were taught in your entire life, but if what you were taught in your entire life doesn't lead to your transformation, please take it out of your belief system and don't dishonor your teachers, but don't believe it anymore. If it doesn't lead to your transformation, then don't believe it as truth. You must be born again. Why'd we reduce that to a prayer to go to heaven? Born again is as if you never lived before. It's coming through the womb of God as a brand new baby and growing up into him and maturing in him. As if you never lived before. If you die, it's as if you never lived before. Come on, guys. Here's why I brought them up for this right here, and it took me a while to get there, so thanks for your patience. Verse 12, and I'm done, and I'll turn it over to Pastor, I promise. Verse 12. I want this to be your prayer. I want you to yield to this as I read this. If you need to close your eyes right now and just not be distracted and just listen to the words, and as you listen to them, all you have to do in your heart is sincerely, yes, Lord, that's my desire. Yes, Lord, I want that. Yes, I'm in agreement. I'm telling you, you just get into agreement with God. You get yes with every yes of God. Grace comes on your life. I don't want a hard heart, guys. I don't want to reserve the right to see you less than Jesus does. I don't want that. I want to see you through his eyes. And I want you to want that too. Are you hearing me? So I'm going to read this. Because you guys have a strong family thing going here. I'm very blessed by your church. I'm very blessed by this gathering. You guys have a very strong connection with one another. It's a beautiful thing. And you do have a million kids. So this thing's going to carry on to generations because you guys are set up for it. Dude, I'm still mystified by it. I'm like, I've never seen so many kids in my life in a small setting. I've been in a church of 1,000 and didn't see that many kids. But it's good. You're reproducing. Train them up. Live the life of Christ. Be so desirable in their eyes in Christ that as they grow older, they go, wow, I want to be like them. If your child's throwing a fit when they're little, don't think you're failing as a mother. Just keep growing in Christ. Be in love with Christ and manifest Christ. It just means your child needs born again someday. Everybody's kid's going to need born again. You're not born saved. You're born again. So don't panic. Don't think you're a bad mother if your child's acting out. Look, you can be the most peaceful parents in the world and your kid could fight with another kid over a toy and you never taught them that. Why? It's just in them. It doesn't mean you're failing. So just stay calm, manifest truth, and when they get a little older, they'll say, Mommy, I think you're different than me. What do you mean I'm different than you, honey? I don't know. You just don't seem like you get angry and frustrated like I feel sometimes. And I know sometimes I'm this and this, but Mommy, you just seem like, I don't know, I just love you, Mommy. You just seem so different. Well, let me tell you why you probably see that, sweetheart. And all of a sudden, you, the mama, get to teach your child through your life the beauty of Christ. And your little child says, Mommy, I want Jesus like that. I want Jesus to do that same thing in my heart too. And you say, well, let's pray, sweetheart, because he will. Come on, let's kneel by the bed. Oh, man, my hairs are all standing up, man. I'm like feeling this. Are you feeling that too? Whoa. See, you're on the front row. They always say get on the front, you know. She said, me too. Here's what I need to read. I told you I was reading and I didn't. Forgive me. Therefore, in light of all these things, this is our prayer today. This is my heart cry for us as a people. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, and meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, church. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. And above all these things, people, put on love. It's the bond of perfection. Let the grace of God rule in your hearts, for which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing, singing, admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, church, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks to God the Father through him. Father, I thank you for the honor of this weekend. I thank you for these precious people. I thank you for every good thing I've perceived and just every awesome thing you've done and cultivated in this house. You've done an amazing work, God. And I believe you came and shouted through me all weekend like this, not because they're not in these places, but because you've taken them into these places and you wanted to increase and grow beyond what maybe we even thought was possible. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for the grace that's in these messages. I thank you that the grace is on our hearts. And I thank you that today, even more than before, you've sobered us even a little more to consider you, look to you, and yield to you, and let you have your way. God, I thank you for your unfailing, unrelenting love that has never lost sight of our value and our potential. I thank you on someone's darkest day, you didn't lose sight of who they are. And even when we had no clue of who we are, you always knew and saw fit to send your son. Thank you for the love of the gospel. We don't want to just receive the love of the gospel. We want to become the love of the gospel. Because when we become one like you're one, then the world's going to know. So thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you for the influence that it has on this region. Thank you for the impact that it has in our everyday life, on our jobs and in the markets. Thank you for teaching us how to express it and how to make it known to the world around us. Okay, God, wow. This is what I saw. I saw God pleased with this, and I'm just going to thank him for it. Thank you, God, for making peace between the heart of people and the heart of God. I declare peace between the heart of man and the heart of God in this room. And I thank you for the reconciliation through your Son. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. God, thank you. Amen. And amen. Pastor Tim, I'll turn it over to you, sir. Whatever you see fit. Thank you, people.